sick and tired of hearing things from uptight, short-sighted, narrow-minded hypocrites. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth. I've had enough of reading things by neurotic, psychotic, pig-headed politicians. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. Today I'm joined in the studio by Gregory Longo and Frank Tolupko, both radio show hosts, to discuss the multitude of events happening to commemorate the 10th anniversary of September 11th, 2001. And this will be followed by a new audio clip from the video recently made by the architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth about World Trade Center Building 7. So let's begin. Frank and Greg, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, Cheryl. Glad to be here.
Glad to be here, Cheryl.
Would you each tell us a little bit about yourselves and how you became involved in researching 9/11?
I'm a college graduate at University of Connecticut in zoology and chemistry, and did some grad work at University of Rhode Island in biochemistry. And soon after that, was inducted into the U.S. Army, served in Vietnam for 2 years. For 1 year, actually, in the U.S. Army. And after that, flipped to 2001, I was dismayed, to say the least, at the U.S. media's portrayal of what happened on that day, although I didn't know all the answers. And I started to learn a little bit about the U.S. history. And in 2003, I started a radio program called Speak Out. And after 8 years, it's developed into show distilled down to two subjects: what really happened on 9/11 and the United States' entangled relationship with the State of Israel. It's an ongoing process.
Okay, great. And Frank?
Yeah, hi. I was born, raised, and worked, and raised a family in New York City, working as my last job as a information technology expert, a business analyst for a New York power company. I'm now retired in the Berkshires, and I have a radio show on a local community radio station in Great Barrington called the 911 Report. I became interested in the topic of 911 and why the official story can't be true almost from day one when I observed the towers collapsing. And I have continued searching for the truth about what happened on that day.
I'm glad to have you both on the show today. We have a lot to talk about. There are many events going on to commemorate this 10th anniversary of 9/11. And Greg, why don't you start with telling us about what's happening in Montreal on September 8th?
The program is going to be on Thursday, September 8th, 2011, in Montreal. It's entitled After 9/11, 10 Years of War. The tragic events of September 11, 2001, which claimed many lives in the United States, have since given rise to an era of endless U.S.-NATO-sponsored wars, accompanied by economic chaos, rising poverty, and financial manipulation. We have seen a marked shift towards authoritarianism, the criminalization of the Justice Department, or Justice, and the development of a police state. At this special 10-year commemorative event, we invite the public to an evening exploring the truth behind 9/11 and its implications for the future of society. The speakers will be Cynthia McKinney. Her topic will be 9/11 Truth, the War at Home and Abroad. She's a former member of the U.S. Congress and the Green Party candidate for the U.S. presidential elections. She has recently returned from a fact-finding mission in Libya. She also attended the 9/11 symposium in Hartford, Connecticut in 2007 and chaired or took part in the International 9/11 Conference in San Francisco in 2004. Wayne Madsen, his topic is media manipulation and the fear of terrorism. Michael Chasadovsky, he's the host of globalresearch.ca. And his topic will be 9/11 and the global war on terrorism. And the last speaker will be Monty Darius Nazarimroya. His topic will be today's 9/11 war machine, report from the Mideast War Theater.
So that's going on in Montreal. And then, Frank, maybe you can tell us a little bit about the ballot initiative process going on.
Yes, there is a ballot initiative that's being attempted among a number of states, including Massachusetts. And the major mover behind this is a former U.S. Senator, Mike Gravel. Let me read from the press release that went out on August 18th. Senator Mike Gravel announced today the inauguration of a citizens' campaign to authorize a new investigation of the events of September 11, 2001. Senator Gravel has filed a proposed ballot initiative that is expected to be approved by the Attorney General of Massachusetts by September 7th. If adopted by the voters, the new law would create an independent, citizen-led investigatory commission that would be seated in Massachusetts and be vested with subpoena power and the power to take testimony under oath. Quoting Senator Gravel, "I personally initiated this effort to create a new 911 commission in response to the unending outpouring of calls for a new investigation in the light of new evidence from Americans across the political spectrum. Because our gridlock, Congress is obviously incapable of taking up this issue, I believe that state initiatives are our best alternative approach. Massachusetts is an optimal state in which to begin this work," close quote. Senator Gravel is a former two-term senator from Alaska and a 2008 presidential candidate who was also considering a run for the presidency in 2012 at the urging of grassroots groups. The senator is currently chair and founder of the Citizens 911 Commission campaign. You can visit them online at 911cc.org. It is a California-based citizens group that is filing similar ballot measures in other states, notably Oregon and Alaska. Senator Gravel traces his interest in the issue, that is the 911 truth issue, to the charge leveled by the co-chairs that the original 911 commission, Thomas Kane and Lee Hamilton, the chairs, that the committee that they led was, quote, set up to fail, close quote, as stated in their 2006 book, Without Precedent. Currently, they are waiting for approval from the state attorney general in Massachusetts, and as soon as they get the approval, they will have to get, I think, by the end of November, approximately 70,000 signatures. They're trying to raise funds at this point with a tour by the senator right after the September 11th anniversary to raise money to hire people to gather signatures to put it on the ballot. So if this is being heard in Massachusetts, you should get involved if you're interested in the issue.
And the website again on that, Frank?
911cc.org.
And the really big event happening on the 10th anniversary of 9/11 are the Toronto hearings. And these are international hearings on the events of September 11th. The event is sponsored by the International Center for 9/11 Studies. And what they're having is many witnesses of the top-ranking researchers into 9/11, and they're going to be testifying under oath, and they'll be presenting the latest evidence on 9/11, and it's all going to be documented. And here are some of the witnesses who will be giving testimony at the conference. Mike Gravel, who's a former U.S. senator and who ran for president in the last election. Lance DeHaven Smith, who is at a university in Canada. And Peter Dale Scott, who wrote the book The Road to 9/11. Of course, David Ray Griffin, who has written approximately 10 books on 9/11. Michelle Chusadovsky, who's also going to be at that event in Montreal on September 8th. And again, he's a professor emeritus out of Ottawa, and he also does the website globalresearch.ca. Barbara Honegger, who writes about the Pentagon a lot, and Paul Zaremka, who is a professor in Buffalo and a professor of economics, and he'll be testifying. And then Jay Kohler, who is a film studies instructor. And then we have Jonathan Cole, who's a professional engineer, and David Chandler, who has done a lot of 9/11 videos, particularly on the towers. He's challenged NIST, the National Institute of Standards and Technology. Laurie Manuel has a PhD in psychology and neuroscience, and she was part of the team that wrote the article State Crimes Against Democracy that was published in February of 2010 in the American Behavioral Scientist Journal. Then Niels Herit will be testifying, and he is from Denmark, and he teaches chemistry. And he has written a recent paper called The Active Thermitic Material Discovered in the Dust of the World Trade Center Towers. Then Richard Gage, the architect who founded Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. Graham McQueen will be there, and he has taught religious studies and peace studies at a university in Canada. Kevin Ryan, who used to work for United Laboratories and lost his job because he started questioning their take on 9/11. And those are the people who will be testifying so far. There's a lot of information on that. It's a huge undertaking, and I would encourage you to go to their website if you want to learn more about it, which is torontohearings.org. And then moving along to other events, Frank, maybe you could tell us about what the architects and engineers are doing.
Well, I know that at the Toronto hearings, they're releasing the latest edition of their movie that they've constantly been updating about the collapse of Building 7.
The new movie is called 9/11 Explosive Evidence, Experts Speak Out.
Yeah. I guess it's going to be probably be better edited in terms of being much more hard-hitting, whatever. I have not seen any trailers on that. I don't know if you have. You have seen
it? Yeah,
any?
I have. It's going to have the testimony of many of the architects and engineers from around the world talking about all three towers and why the scientific evidence does not support what we've been told happened that day. And then maybe you could tell us about the new book they're putting out?
Yes, I guess one of the signatories on the Architects and Engineers website is an author by the name of Arthur Naiman. He signed it because he's an author. He felt that there should be a new investigation based on the contradictory evidence that's contained in the official report. So as part of a series of books, he authored a book called 911, The Simple Facts, Why the Official Story Can't Possibly Be True. The book does not deal with the conspiracy theories. It has no theories at all about who did what. It simply focuses on flaws in the official version of what happened, flaws that have led more than 1,500 architects and engineers with 25,000 years of professional experience to demand a new independent investigation. The book begins by listing 14 clearly observable facts about the collapse of the World Trade Center buildings that the official story can't explain, then gives a simple explanation that accounts for all 14 of them. Among other things, he asks, why has no other skyscraper ever collapsed from being hit by airplanes or from fires, even when engulfed by flames that raged for 17 or 18 hours? He also asks, how could the Twin Towers fall so evenly and so fast, straight down through 160,000 tons of structural steel? He goes on by inquiring, how could the smaller, lighter floors above where the planes hit completely destroy the much heavier, stronger, and completely undamaged floors below? For that matter, how could the top of the South Tower crush the floors below if it began its fall toppling off them at an angle of 22 degrees? If this was a gravitational collapse, they're going to have to rewrite the laws of gravity. Questions like these, and there are hundreds of them, have convinced not just building professionals, but tens of thousands of others, senior government, intelligence, military, and law enforcement officials, pilots, firefighters, 911 survivors and relatives, scholars, and many more, that we need a new investigation. So, the book again is called 911, The Simple Facts, Why the Official Story Can't Possibly Be True.
And coming from 1,538 at last count architects and engineers demanding a new investigation, I think that's probably a really good book to have.
I actually got it in the mail the other day, and I was looking through it very quickly. It is a very pocket-sized book, very handy, and it really gets to the meat of the matter without making any speculations about who may have not done it, just to show that the buildings didn't come down the way the government says they came down.
And working along with the architects and engineers is Remember Building 7 campaign, and they have a new campaign going on where they're trying to raise $1 million, and they're going to be buying ads in New York City and around the country in major cities like Los Angeles, Dallas, Chicago, etc. And I'll be playing that new ad for you in a future broadcast. But if you want to know more about what they're doing, their website is rememberbuilding7.org. And again, they're trying to raise $1 million by September 11th so they can buy these ads. And they are working really closely with the architects and engineers. So that's a really exciting project also that's going on. And then there's an event going on in San Francisco on September 11th. They're having a day-long movie marathon, and they'll also be showing the architects and engineers' new movie that you just heard about. And in Hartford, we will have the 10th Annual Hope Out Loud Peace and Arts Festival, which will be on Sunday, September 11th. It's from 1 to 5 p.m., and it's free, and it's in a new location. It used to be in Bushnell Park, but this year it's going to be in the Church of the Good Shepherd at 155 Willis Street in Hartford. And at 2:30 p.m., they're going to have a dedication of Silent Wishes, Dreams, and Prayers. And Hope Out Loud is a celebration of creativity and vibrancy of Connecticut's advocacy, service, activists, and arts community. Good music and spoken word performances, inspiring speakers, more than 40 tabling organizations, and fun, family activities for children of all ages. Spend an afternoon, bring a picnic. It's a concert, rally, playground, remembrance, a day of inspiration for renewal and commitment. So I'm usually there every year with a table. This year, someone else will be doing the tabling for me because I'll probably be at the Toronto hearings. But if you would like more information on this event, you can go to hopeoutloud.org or call 860-523-4823. And now there's another big event going on in Hartford to commemorate the 10th anniversary of September 11th. And Greg, maybe you could tell us a little bit about that.
We have a day-long film festival put on by the Progressive Coalition of Greater Hartford. It's entitled 9/11 10 Years Later. It will be Saturday, September the 10th from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. at the University of Hartford Auerbach Auditorium, 200 Bloomfield Avenue, West Hartford, Connecticut. The film festival will honor the 9/11 victims and their families by joining a community of progressives in viewing and discussing these rarely available independent films. Free viewings and selected DVDs will be distributed free of charge. Here is a schedule of the film screenings. At 10 to 11:30 a.m. will be, in their own words, the untold stories of the 9/11 families. And there will be discussions after the films, so that's very important. From 12 to 1:30 p.m., Loose Change 9/11, An American Coup. From 2 to 3:30, The Great Conspiracy, the 9/11 news special You Never Saw. That was made by Barry Zwicker, a Canadian journalist who wrote the book Towers of Deception about a lack of media objectivity on the reporting of 9/11 events. From 4 to 5:30, the film Ludicrous Diversions, the 7/7/2005 London bombings documentary. This is a very informative film showing just how the powers that be orchestrated these London bombings and blamed them on alleged terrorists. From 6 to 7:30 p.m., Zero, an Investigation into 9/11, one of the best films on the events of 9/11. And you'll see Ralph Schoenman in a couple of spots in that film. From 8 to 10 p.m., 9/11 Explosive Evidence, The Experts Speak Out.
And that's the new Richard Gage movie that we'll be showing at 8 p.m., so you'll see it here first. It's just being released, and we'll be the first people to show it in Connecticut. Okay, so that just about wraps up the events coming up on the 10th anniversary of 9/11, from our perspective, anyway. And now here's the audio clip of the mini-documentary by Architects and Engineers that was launched by the Remember Building 7 campaign on the 10th anniversary. To see the actual video, which I recommend, go to the website rememberbuilding7.org. And the name of the documentary is Architects and Engineers Solving the Mystery of World Trade Center 7. And here it is, with some minor editing, mostly with the music, due to time constraints.
Throughout the ages, architects and engineers have designed and built the great structures that have made our world and withstood the test of time. Hi, I'm Ed Asner. Welcome to Architects and Engineers. Let's look now at modern steel frame buildings. This is the Empire State Building, a marvel of modern architecture. It was built to last. Architects and engineers of today use computers to design and engineer buildings that will endure the forces of nature, such as earthquakes, fires, and hurricanes. This modern skyscraper was also built to last. We've seen buildings completely destroyed like this before, but only when done intentionally. Danny Jowenko is the expert on this in Europe. What did he say?
This is controlled demolition.
Let's compare. Explosives are used to demolish buildings like this in just seconds. Okay, so it's a controlled demolition. What's the problem with that? Well, it happened on the afternoon of 9/11 at the World Trade Center. Let's just think about this. Controlled demolitions cannot be engineered and rigged in a day. It takes months. And therefore, this event must have been planned in advance.
Keep your eye on that building. It'll be coming down.
The building is about to blow up. Moving back. We are walking back. There's a building about to blow up.
Did they actually use the word brought down? And who was it that was telling you this?
In the fire department. And they did use the word, we're going to have to bring it down.
And these people heard explosions.
We heard this sound. It sounded like a clap of thunder. It looked like there was a shockwave ripping through the building and the windows all busted out. About a second later, the bottom floor caved out. The building followed after that.
He takes his hand off, and you hear 3, 2, 1, and it was boom, 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 boom.
And these reporters recognized it as a controlled demolition.
And I turned in time to see what looked like a skyscraper implosion. Looked like it had been done by a demolition crew. The whole thing just collapsing down on itself.
For the third time today, it's reminiscent of those pictures we've all seen too much on television before, when a building was deliberately destroyed by well-placed dynamite to knock it down.
It was almost as if it were a planned implosion. It just pancaked.
So what's the problem if this was a planned demolition? Well, we are told by government agencies that this building came down as a result of normal office fires. The National Institute of Standards and Technology produced their final report in 2008.
World Trade Center 7 collapsed because of fires fueled by office furnishings. It did not collapse from explosives or from fuel oil fires.
But what do you think brought down the building?
And what caught my eye is more than 1,300 architects and engineers examined the evidence about Building 7's collapse and disagree with the official report issued by the National Institute of Standards and Technology. I certainly am much more open-minded about it than I was, and it is because of the involvement of the 9/11 families and all these engineers and architects.
You are about to hear from architect of 23 years, Richard Gage, AIA, member of the American Institute of Architects and founder of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. Now there are more than 1,500 architects and engineers who say that it could not have been brought down by office fires. They are backed by 9/11 family members. We're calling for an independent, unbiased investigation.
I'm Richard Gage. Fires have never before caused the collapse of any skyscraper, even though there are numerous examples of much hotter, larger, and longer-lasting fires in these buildings. And in the case of Building 7, the fire that NIST said started the collapse had actually burned out over an hour before. It could not have caused the collapse, as NIST claims. Yet this 47-story, modern steel-frame skyscraper, which was not hit by an airplane, collapses mostly into its own footprint like a house of cards, as fast as a bowling ball falling off the side of the building, in just under 7 seconds. Listen to the experts.
Building number 7 descended in free fall for the first 100 feet, which means that there was absolutely no resistance to the descent whatsoever.
NIST has admitted it went into free fall for 8 stories. And going from motionless to free fall instantly, that's a bothersome part of the puzzle because NIST never explained it.
We've got a building that came down in its own footprint, so all of the columns really needed to be severed at the same time in order for that structure to fall the way that we saw.
The symmetry is the smoking gun.
The whole building completely comes down in one continuous motion. There couldn't have been any structural resistance.
According to NIST, the failure occurred at column 79 on level 12. They're talking about a single columnar collapse or failure that resulted in a total collapse of the building.
It is possible that you could have a local failure as a result of a connection failing. But the likelihood of that failure dragging the entire building in such a fashion that all the columns would fail at the same time is an impossibility.
Impossibility?
Yes.
What I saw, it was a classic implosion. The center of the core, the penthouse area, starts to move first, and then the building follows along with it.
I'd like to know why NIST excluded the document from FEMA in Appendix C that documented the evidence of melting steel. Why is this forensic evidence not being included in the report?
In an office fire, you cannot generate enough heat to melt steel. And yet we have evidence of molten iron. R.J. Lee Company, USGS, and Dr. Stephen Jones's work, all three separately found these microspheres.
In the dust, we found what we characterize as unreacted thermitic material. in the shape of some very tiny red-gray chips, which have different properties. And in the reaction, they produce molten iron, which is the prime indication of a thermitic reaction. And such a reaction can be used to destroy steel structures. What we have found is a modern version of thermite, which we call nanothermite.
There were these iron microspheres present in all of the dust samples that needed to have been formed in extremely high temperatures.
I've independently seen thermitic activity within two separate independent samples of World Trade Center dust. My contention, based on finding thermite residue in the dust, is that it happened before. It didn't happen after in the fires that ensued in the rubble pile afterwards. All the characteristics of the microspheres tell me that thermite was involved in melting those steel beams.
So thermite, if it was present at the World Trade Center and created this molten metal that so many witnesses and photographic evidence shows, would also explain the fact that the fires could not be put out at Ground Zero.
The only thing that is consistent with all of the evidence that we have that could cause such a thing is the use of thermite to cut through the steel.
You'd get down below and you'd see molten steel. Oh. Molten steel running down the channel rails. Like you're in a foundry.
Yeah. Like lava from a volcano.
Well, the manual gets into thermite, and if it says if you have melted steel or concrete, which we had on 9/11, we should test for it.
It's this fused element of steel, molten steel and concrete and all of these things all fused by the heat into one single element.
We're asking for an investigation that follows national standards. There's no excuse to not test for this. If terrorists use explosives in 93, why didn't we test for them? If all these witnesses heard explosions, why aren't we testing for them?
NIST concedes that they found no evidence for explosives. So then we asked them, well, did you look? And they said, no, we did not look for explosives or residues of explosives.
So the preconceived notion of NIST is that there's no evidence for explosives, and so there's no point in looking. That is the most unscientific thing that you can possibly think of, not to look because you don't expect to find evidence, and in fact the evidence is overwhelming. They state these conclusions for which there's virtually no evidence, and then they ignore conclusions that can be drawn from the evidence.
The Freedom of Information Act request to NIST was denied with the claim that releasing this data might jeopardize public safety. How could it possibly jeopardize public safety?
The destruction of evidence was a criminal act in itself. It was already being carted away and destroyed when the FEMA investigators got there, about a month after September 11th.
You can't do science when you are deprived of the evidence and when your hypothesis is the least valid instead of the most likely. When the most likely hypothesis in the case of Building 7 wasn't even mentioned. This is not science.
The scientific forensic evidence ignored by NIST, but carefully reviewed by teams of technical professionals, corroborates the hypothesis of explosive controlled demolition. We've traveled to 21 foreign countries and 32 American cities, bringing this evidence to the attention of the public. And we're backed by 9/11 family members and other concerned citizens who are calling for an independent, unbiased investigation.
I'm a family member trying to find out the answers to the murder of 3,000 plus people. The bottom line is that it needs to be investigated properly.
Please look at architects and engineers. People all around the world, scientists all around the world are questioning this. And there's some deep, deep explaining to do.
It took some kind of consciousness raising on my part before I was willing to look at the possibilities. And really, you need to go where the evidence leads.
As an engineer, I have 3 degrees in engineering. I signed that petition for architects and engineers for 9/11 truth some time ago because the American people absolutely need the truth of 9/11.
Look at the evidence. In fact, I'll say this very categorically. Any reasonable person who looks at the evidence that's been brought forward has got to come away with the feeling that something has to be done a real investigation has to be put forward.
We will never heal. This country will never, ever, ever forget that day. We have to demand a new investigation. I want justice here.
The country owns this. We were all victims. You all should want answers. It's not just ours, not just mine. We all lost something that day.
It's distressing for everyone to come to terms with this evidence, but we must pursue the truth wherever it leads. Look at the evidence and decide for yourself.
This concludes this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. Thanks for listening.